You're trying to get back to it?
Oh, I am back to it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, sorry. Weird. Okay, so remember the reason why Natan gave... Or the reason why the Malbim interpreted why David couldn't build the base Mikdash was because even though it seemed like there was peace and there was the enemies were subdued, it wasn't really as much as it would be in the days of Shlomo HaMelech when he could do it. So here we see all these wars that David has left to fight. Now he does, it seems like after this, it really is sort of the end of it. Okay, so he fights the Plishtim. We're going to talk about this Metek Ha'ama and what that is, what that represents later. Actually, did we read the Mefarshim interspersed? What did we decide last time? I'm going crazy.
We read through the whole thing.
Okay, let's read through the whole thing. Thank you. Okay. Vayach et Moav, and then he smites Moav. Vayimad deim bechevel, and he measured them with a rope, which is also strange. We're going to read something Kabbalistic about that. Hashkevotam arza, he made them lie down on the ground. Vayimadeid shnei chevelim, and he measured two lines. Lahamit umlo hachevel lachayot vatihi, and some of them he let live. And Moab then became servants to David, and they brought gifts, which the Mefarshim interpret as they paid taxes. Gimel vayach David et Hadad Ezer, and he smote Hadad Ezer, the son of Rehov, the king of Tsova, v'lechto lehashiv yado benar prat, when he went to extend his dominion over the Euphrates River. Dalet vayukot David mimenu elef ushva meot pras. Shim v'asrim elef ish v'aglei v'yakeid David et kol harachev v'yoter mimenu me'a rachev. So then he captured from him, from this king of Tsova, 1,700 horsemen, 20,000 footmen, and he huffed, I think that's how you pronounced it. Does anybody know that word? I looked it up. It means to hamstring all the horses, and left over for them 100 chariots. You can see that I put the definition... on the, yeah, it's the bottom of the second page. Definition of huff, chiefly Scottish, hamstring, those shalt huff their horses and burn their chariots from Gaza. So does anybody, we're going to read the commentary, but as we're reading, does anybody want to venture a guess why David wasted all these perfectly good fighting horses? Does anybody remember horses specifically mentioned anywhere?
We did something to the hooves?
No, the hamstrings.
Oh, the hamstrings.
Yeah. Anybody remember any laws particular to horses and kings?
King can't have too many.
Exactly. King can't have too many. So we see David really taking his role as king very seriously. We'll see that in the commentary. Okay, so, hey, v'tavo Aram Damashek la'zor lehadad ezer melech tova v'yach David ba'aram esrim ushnaim elef ish. So Aram of Damascus. So here, my enemy's enemy is my friend, right? Because he comes to join them to aid, came to aid Hadad Ezer, king of Soba, and David smote of Aram, 22,000 men, so they were destroyed. And then Vav, Vayasem David Nitzavim ba'Aram Damashek, Vatihi Aram leDavid la'Avadim Nosei Mincha, Vayosha Hashem et David b'kol asher halach. So David placed governors of in Aram of Damascus, the Arameans became servants to David, paying tribute to him, and the Lord helped David wherever he went. I'm just going to point out to you now this phrase, Vayosha Hashem, we first see with Kain and Hevel. So you can see it on the third page. It's slightly larger print, and I bolded it when the expression used for Hashem accepting Kain, accepting Hevel's sacrifice and not accepting Kain's is this expression of Sha'a. So it can mean leaning to, but here it's they translate it as helped in this translation, so it's accepting in that way. Okay, so Zayin vaykach David et shilte hazahav asher hayu el avdei Hadad Ezer vayavi'em Yerushalayim. So David took they translate this as quivers of gold that were on the servants of Hadad Ezer. They had gold quivers, and he brought them to Yerushalayim. Umi betach umi beiroti are Hadad Ezer lakach Hamelech David nechoshet harbe meod, and he took a lot of copper from these other cities, the cities of Hadad Ezer. Okay, let's stop there and read the Mefarshim on that and some of the explanations. So the Malbim, we did through. Okay. Okay, so the Malabim Bahi Acharei Chen. So why do we precede it with, and it was after this? Hodiyo Hashem Ayideh HaNavi. Hashem informed him by way of the Navi, Ki lohu yivne habayit ba'asher odlo nichratu oivav mipanav, that he wouldn't build the house while he still hadn't completely cut down the enemies from before him. Hashem didn't want David to rest yet from war. And the Malbim is actually saying that David took this message very seriously, that Hashem is saying, you don't have enough rest from your enemies. So David is doing this almost peremptory war to pave the way for his son to have the rest that was necessary. So it wasn't that these people attacked him, attacked David. David went out and really subdued everybody to pave the way for Shlomo. So he saw that it was the will of Hashem that he shouldn't rest yet from war, and therefore he went out and sought his enemy, and he threatened them with war in their land. And also because until now the Plishim had come to his land and he hadn't yet subdued them completely. Now he went to their land and he subdued them, and they're gone. I think we're not going to see them again. And he also took this rope from their land, this metek ha'ama, which we're going to explore later with the rabbis say. So in Divrei Hayamim, it doesn't say Metek Ha'ama. It elaborates on the cities of the Plishtim of Gat and its suburbs. Isn't that interesting that daughters in Hebrew, when with regard to a city, means its suburbs? Okay. And there's a drash from the rabbis why it's called Metek Ha'ama. Maybe I'll tell you that now since it mentioned it. I apologize that we're going back and forth. So that is, so on the, I didn't even number the pages. So the fourth page where it says Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. So this brings us all the way back to Yitzchak. Yitzchak karat brit im amei ha'aretz kishagar be'eretz plishim. So Yitzchak made a brit, a covenant, with the people of the land when he lived in the land of the plishim. Ra'o tam shehafchu p'neim ve'yatza mehem b'shalom ve'halchu acharav avimelech v'chol gedalev. So if you remember, there was a famine in the land. Yitzchak went to the land of the plishim. Hashem actually told him he wasn't allowed to go to Egypt like his father had done. And again, they said that Rivka was his sister, and Avimelech sees that she's not his sister. And he kicks them out, but not in the same way as Paro does. He says, you have to leave, but basically choose whatever you want. And then, so he went far away. And then Avimelech later came to him and said, I see that God has blessed you, and I want to make a covenant with you. Okay, so that's the story there. So that's what it means, that he saw that they switched their faces and they came with shalom, and Avimelech and his big people with him. I don't know how to translate that. Amar Laham, Hafachtam Atamet Panechem Yimani. You switched your, you now seem to like me, whereas you didn't like me. Ve'achshav Batam Alai, now you came to me. Shinemar Vayomar Laham Yitzchak, Madua Batam Alai. And they answered, the reason why we came to see you is because we see that God is with you. We see in the future, we know that Hashem is going to give you, your descendants, all of this land. Make with us a covenant and an oath. That Israel will not inherit the land of the Plishtim. Ma asa Yitzchak, what did Yitzchak do? Karat ima mimetig hachamor. He took from the switch of the donkey, right? That's called a switch, the thing that they whip. So he took a portion of that switch of the donkey shehayaro chavalav that he was riding on. V'natan lo le'ot brit shvua. And he gave it over as an oath, and an oath of a covenant, as a sign of the covenant oath. And, oh, meteg, which is that word in our pasuk, the name of the place, is the same word as the switch. Okay? And when King David wanted to go to the land of Plishtim, because right, he actively went into their land to conquer it, But he could not enter because this piece of the switch, I'm not really sure how to visualize this, was there at the border, and he couldn't enter because it represented the oath with his ancestor Yitzchak. So what did David do? He took this metika ama, this piece of the switch that was an ama length, that's how they're translating it, from the hand of the plishtim. Shenamar, as it's written, v'ichnu plishtim v'lo yachlu od. The plishtim were subdued and they couldn't do anything else. Okay? So that's... Oh, go ahead.
So he ignored
the... Yeah, or he undid it. Yeah. Because they obviously hadn't lived up to their bargain. I think we can see that repeatedly. They did not live up to their part of the oath covenant. So David finally said enough. He removed the sign of this covenant that wasn't in place anyway because the plishtim kept attacking them, and he subdued them and did away with them. Okay, so back into the Malbim. Bet, v'yach et Moav, and he smote Moav. Hiresh Chazal, in Bamidbar Rabbah, ba'avur shehargu et aviv imo bebarcho mipnei Sha'ul. So if you remember this, we spent a lot of time on this. Why was he so nasty to Moav, David HaMelech? So according to the Malbim, it was because Moav killed his father and father when David was fleeing from Sha'ul. So when David was fleeing from Sha'ul, he asked the Moabites, who of course is his great-grandmother's country, if they would care for his family while Sha'ul was in pursuit of him and his family. And then we read there, we spent a lot of time in the Midrash about what we can guess that the Moabites did to him in killing his family, because we never hear from them again. And so this was David's revenge. Rav Amnon Bazak does not like the idea of David seeking personal revenge on a whole people, so he has some other theories just in terms of warfare of why this happened, just to put that out there, but I think they deserved it. Okay, so Kamo Shekatuv, as it's written in Shmuel Aleph Kaf Gimel Dalet, it was when at the end of Shmuel Aleph, Bayanchem et Pnei Melech Moav, and he brought them before the face of, before the king of Moav. Nakam mehem, he sought revenge from them, Veharag mehem Shnei Shlishim, and he killed 2/3 of them. Ubederech Bizeon, he shkivotam arza, and he even made them in a very disrespectful way lie down on the ground. Velohik pid lahechiot giborim, and he didn't care about making the hero, the strong ones, live. Ki hayu la'avadim nosei mincha, because they became his servants, paying taxes. And that's where it says, "Ritzon lamar por emas," that they pay taxes. Okay, Gimel lahashiv yado, ube divrei hayamim lahatsiv yado. So Malbim's noting the different languages between Shmuel and divrei hayamim. Shehadad Ezer hayamo shel benar prat karov legvul Yisrael. So this king was the ruler of the Euphrates River, which was next to the border of Israel. Vahayalo sham yad, and there he had a hand like a statue. Ritzon lamar binyan banui, it was a building. Ve'alav tmunat yad, and on it was a picture of a hand. La'od shekavsha biyado, as a sign of his strength and power that he was able to conquer with his hand. K'mo shekatuv in Shmuel al tefa v'hine matziv lo yad, and here he placed a hand. V'David hisir habinyan hazeh, and David completely removed this building. V'halach lahashiv lahatzivo, ratzon lamar likvosh medina, and he, after removing this building, he was able to conquer them easily. So he undid this symbol. Okay, now Rashi. So I just included in order of appearance different commentaries that I thought were interesting and meaningful to understanding the text. So we're going from Malbim to Rashi now. Vayakor David et kol harechev. That David huffed. Again, I don't know if it's huffed or howed or what it is, but he hamstringed all the horses. Mishum lo yirbe lo susim. Just like it says in the Pasuk, with regard to kings of Israel, that they cannot have too many horses, from Devarim Yed Zayin Tet Zayin, and that's the laws of the kings. V'yoter mimenu mea rechev, and he left over 100 chariots, shayu tzuchin lo lichdei markavato, because this is what he needed for his own cavalry. V'harechev arba susim, k'mo she'ne'amar, mirkava v'shesh me'ot kesev v'sus b'chamishim mea. And the chariot, each chariot would have 4 horses. We learned from a different pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Okay, and then here's the dictionary definition of huff. Okay, and then we're going to do Zion.
Stacey, yeah. Do you understand that to mean that he injured the horses or that he killed them horses?
I don't. I think it's injured them, but I was thinking, like, horses don't do well when they're injured. So I don't know if it's a way of them still being able to comfortably live. I couldn't find any more definitions of this word, huffed. There's actually this really cool thing. If you put in any verse of the Bible, like, so I put in Shmuel bet 8 dot dot whatever pasuk that was, and there's a website called Bible Hub. It's not Jewish, obviously, but it'll give you, like, 25 different versions of how to translate from 25 different editions of the Bible, including some Jewish stuff. And so I saw crippled, injured, but it doesn't, like, especially in ancient times, they just wouldn't let horses that had lame legs live, right? So I don't, but it doesn't say he killed them. So I don't know if, like, I don't know. If anybody knows, can let me know. Okay. So Shiltei HaZahav, so these are these gold quivers. Hem Ashbatot Shenotnim Behem Achitzim Kama Da'atamar Habaru Achitzim Mal'u Hashlatim. So it quotes a pasuk from Jeremiah that talks about the quivers. So these are the quivers of gold in which arrows are placed, similar to the saying, make bright the arrows, fill up the quivers. Kol HaParshiot Talalu Samchan Etzel Parsha Shel Beit HaMikdash. So the reason I included this, and this is still Rashi, he's commenting again on the Vehi Acharechin, and it was after this. So after David's request to build the Beis HaMikdash, and then we hear these details about all the booty that David is collecting from his enemies, and Rashi's telling us that the reason why we have this Smichut Parshiot, these two sections right next to each other, is because Lefi Shemikol HaMilchamot Halalu Ketz HaKadeshot Letzarche Habayit. David took all of these expensive holy, these expensive precious things, and dedicated it to the needs of the future temple that his son would build. Okay, so I just thought that that was really beautiful and fits in with what we know about David. Okay, and now, I don't think I want to read it. So the underneath the Metek Ha'ama source that we did, so page 4 again, the Ohev Yisrael. It's too Kabbalistic. I didn't really understand it. But when it talks about measuring the rope for the Moabites that he used to kill them, the Ohev Yisrael, who's a Hasidish Rebbe, he talks about he measured them with the rope of truth, and he was able to see which ones of them contained sparks of holiness. It's very Kabbalistic. And so which ones were worthy of saving and which ones were not, based on these Kabbalistic concepts, which I'm not going to attempt to translate, but I wanted to include it anyway in our learning. Okay, so back to the psukim, so we're on Tet. Veishma Toi Melech Hamat Ki Hikad David et Kol Chayal Hadad Azer. So Toi, the king of Hamat, heard that David had smote all the soldiers of the whole fleet of Hadad Azer. Vayishlach Toi et Yoram Beno El Hamelech David Lishal Lo Leshalom Ulevarcho Al Asher Nilcham BeHadad Azer Vayakehu Ki Ish Mechamot Toi Haya Hadad Azer Vayad Do hayu klei kesef uklei zahav uklei nechoshet. Okay, so Toi sent his son Yoram to King David to seek out peace with him and to bless him, because he fought Hadad-Ezer and smote him. Ki ish melchamot Toi haya, because Toi was a. So it says, for Hadad-Ezer had been Toi's opponent in war. But the same phrase here, which I thought was really interesting, Ish Milchamot, where did we see that before? So that was in David telling to his son Shlomo and to the Jewish people why he was not fit to build the Beis Mikdash, because he was an Ish Milchamot. It's the exact same language. I included it for you if you want to see somewhere. Oh, I think I indented it. It's on page 3. It's right underneath the Malbim Yud. Ki ish mechamot ata. Okay. And in his possession were vessels of silver and vessels of gold and vessels of copper. Yud alef gam otam hikdish hamelech David la'ashem im hakesef azav asher hikdish mikol goyim asher kibesh. So here's the proof text for what Rashi was saying before. And also these, when it says also, it means whatever came before as well. David dedicated to Hashem with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated from all the goyim, all the nations that he had conquered. Yud bet, me'aram, umi moav, umi bnei amon, umi plishim, umi amalek, umi shlal, hadad ezer, ben rechov, melech tzova. So from all of these places that he had taken booty, he dedicated to Hashem. Yud gimel, vayas David, shem, b'shuvo mehakoto et aram, b'gei melech, shmona asar elef. So David made a name in his return from smiting Aram, the gay melech, in 18,000. Yodalad vayesem be'adom nitzavim b'chol edom sam nitzivim v'yikol edom avadim l'david v'yosha Hashem et David b'chol asher halach. So he placed governors in all of Edom, and they were servants to David. And again, this phrase of Hashem helping David in every place where he went. Tadva vayimloch David al kol Yisrael vayhi David oseh mishpat utzdaka lekol amo. And David ruled over all of Israel, and David did mishpat utzdaka to all his nation. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Mishpat utzdaka? We're going to explore that. Okay. What? They do actually, but even before that. So we'll explore it. Let's finish the parak. Vayoav ben Tsruya al hatzava. Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Maskir. So Yoav, the son of Tsuria, was on the army, and we're going to see commentaries that are going to connect this notion of Mishpat and Tzedek with Yoav being the general of the army. And Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Maskir, he was some kind of authority. How did they translate? A scribe. One of the commentaries said that he would call upon each court case to know who was next. Yedzayin v'tzadok ben Achituv v'achimach ben Aviatar Kohanim. So they were the Kohanim. Usraya Sofer. So it wasn't scribe. It was the recorder. Sorry, this is the scribe. Uvenayhu ben Yehoyada v'hakreti v'hapleti uvene David Kohanim hayu. So Benaya was over the archers and slingers. Kreti upleti. It's one of the svarim that I use in my learning for Nida, so it's a famous sefer that they called Kreti Upleti, which is very interesting to name after archers and slingers. I want to find out more about that. It was very exciting to see that phrase, though. Okay, so let's go back into the commentaries. So we are on the Malbim Yud, Lishal lo Shalom ulevarcho. So this was, what was his name? Toi, Melech Hamatz, who came to seek peace with David. Umifaresh lishalo shalom al asher nechan behadad azer. And he wanted to ask for peace because he fought with Hadad Ezer. Ki bezeh hishtatfu be'ahava b'mashi yeshlem oyev mishutaf. He joined him with love in the fact that they have a mutual enemy. So that's where I meant to say my enemy's enemy is my friend. Ulevarcho al asher hikahu, and to bless him on the fact that he smote him. Shezeh b'yarchato shemishupa b'gvura l'dakeh oyvav tachet raglav. So this was his bracha, that he should always have the strength to subdue his enemies under his feet. Okay, and this was the pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, where David says he was an ish melchama. And then when David was makdish, when he sanctified all these materials, Radak just clarifies here that it was for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So Yud Gimel, when it says that David made for himself a name, Rashi says here, and this is also really beautiful about David, Shekavar et haharugim sheharag be'edom, that he buried the dead that he killed in Edom, v'hu shem tov l'Israel, and this brought a great good reputation for Israel, shekovrim et oyvehim, that they bury their enemies. V'chein hu omer b'milchamet Gog u'Magog, and this is what it says in Yechezkel when it's describing the war with Gog and Magog, Kavru kol am haaretz v'haya lehem lashem. It says explicitly that they buried him, They buried them, and then it uses the same language that we have in our parak, and they had therefore a name. It shall be for them a name. Umayin shekavran David, and how do we know that David also buried? Because we didn't read it in the Pesukim. Shenamar b'sefer Malachim, as it says in Malachim, Vahi biot David et Edom ba'alot Yoav sarat tzava lekaver et achalalim. So when David was in Edom and Yoav the captain of the hosts, so it's obviously referring to our what we just read, they went up to bury the slain. I just want to share with you, I was in an Uber the other day, and it was this middle-aged African-American woman. Did I tell you this story? And so I said, how are you? She said, well, I'm okay. I've been better. But then she didn't seem to want to talk about it, so I was quiet. But then I noticed hanging from her rearview mirror was a Jewish star. So I said to her, what is that hanging from your mirror? And she said, oh, that is a Star of David because I am a member of Christians United for Israel. And I said, oh, my son's in the Israeli army. And she said, whoever blesses the Jewish people will be blessed. And then she got into a much better mood, and she said, I wish you were my last customer because you made my night. So anyway, in the tradition of Toi, the king of Hamat, who blesses David because he sees that that's the only way to be blessed after all these other enemies were smited, if that's a word. Okay, so now Malbim on Tet Vav, we're getting to the bottom of that page. Vahi David, Hamivukash min Hamelech Hayushne Devarim. So this is that he, so two things are necessary of a king. Vishaftenu Malkenu, oh, right, this was when, the people asked for a king from Shmuel originally, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, Perek Tet. So we want our king to judge over us, ve'yetzei lefanenu ve'nilcham milchamotenu, and we also want him to go out before us for our wars. Ve'achar shepana min hamilchamot asak b'mishpat ve'gam asat tzedaka v'chesed le'aniim. So after David finished with all these wars that he fought for them, he came back and he busied himself with justice, because those were the two things. You see in the Pasuk in Shmuel, Shaftenu, Mishvat, and Milchamotenu, our wars. And in addition to fighting the wars and also bringing justice, David also did Tzedakah v'Chesed. He went above and beyond the law, and for the poor people, he took on Tzedakah and Chesed. Okay, so Rashi, on that same pasuk, Vayhi David osa mishpat v'gomer v'yoav al hatzava. So Rashi is going to relate these two psukim, the one that David's doing mishpat u'tzedakah, and the other is that Yoav was the general of the army. David garam liyoav liyot matzliach al hatzava. David caused, it was because of David that Yoav was able to be so successful in the army. Lefi she'asa mishpat u'tzedakah. V'yoav, because David did mishpat in tzedakah, V'yoav garam leDavid la'asot mishpat u'tzedakah lefi shehu dan v'yoav shoter v'rodeh al yado. So Yoav caused David to execute justice and charity because he would judge and Yoav would enforce and chastise for him. So it freed David up to do more mishpat u'tzedakah. And because Yoav was engaged in the battles, David was not busied with them, and his heart was left free to judge righteously. Okay, one more Rashi. Oh, the Kreti and Pleti. Ubenayu ben Yehodea ve Kreti ve Pleti. Tergem Yonatan. Right, we're on page 4. So Yonatan translates Ubenayu bar Yehoda mimane al kashtaya ve al klaya. So that's the simple explanation, is the archers and the slingers. Ve rabotenu amru Kreti ve Pleti urin vetumim. But the rabbi said that Benayhu ben Yehodai was actually in charge of the Orim Betumim, and that's what the Kreti Upleti means. Okay, so we did the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer and Metzei Ka'ama. We did the Ohev Yisrael, which I didn't tell you what it meant, but that's okay. So now I wanted to end spending more time on this notion of Mishpat U'Tzedakah, which is how David is referred to busying himself with. And the first time we see these two words, it's actually in the opposite order, and it's with Avraham Avinu. So, Bereshit Perek Yudchet, it says, Ki yadativ l'man asher tzavet banavet beito acharav ve'shamru derech Hashem la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat l'man havi Hashem el Avraham et asher diber alav. So, Hashem says he knows, the reason why Avraham Avinu was chosen is because he knows that he's going to command his sons and his household after him to guard the way of Hashem and to do tzedakah u'mishpat. So this is in two words what it means to do the way of Hashem, tzedakah u'mishpat. And this is then the next pasuk is Hashem telling Avraham what his plans are for Sodom. And there we really see illuminated Avram's pursuit of tzedakah u'mishpat and the way he argues for the people of Sodom, right? So that really clarifies that. So this is... Yeah, it's saying that that's
the whole of it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then we have... so let's try to read this Masechtot Ketanot. V'lo od Elishaya Avraham Avinu oset tzedakah tchila ve'achar kach mishpat. So Avraham Avinu did tzedakah first and afterwards mishpat. Shenamar ki adativ l'man yitzavet banavet b'ito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem lasot tzedakah mishpat. The pasuk we just read, which says tzedakah first and the mishpat. Bizman sheshnei balei dinim bayin lifnei Avraham Avinu. So at the time when two people who are bringing a case to court would come before Avraham, ledin, for a, what's it called when the court,
judgment.
Ve'amar echad al chavero. So the one says about his friend, ze chayav li mana. This one owes me a mana, $100. Haya Avraham Avinu motzi mana mishalo v'noten lo. So what would Avram do? Because he did tzedakah first and then mishpat. Mm-hmm. He would take $100 out of his own pocket and he would give it to him and he would say, go work out your judgment. Okay? The sidru dinan. And then they would work it out. Kevan shenitchayav echad l'chavero mana, amar leze shebiado hamana, tein hamana l'chaverecha. So when somebody owed somebody else $100, he would say to this one, take out the $100 that's in your hand and give it to your friend. Mm-hmm. And if not, he would say, just divide up what's on you and leave in peace. Okay, so tzedakah first and then mishpat. Aval David hamelech lo asakin. But David wouldn't do it that way. Ela osa mishpat tchila ve'achar kach tzedakah. David would do mishpat first, judgment first, and then afterwards tzedakah. Shenamar, v'hi David osa tzedakah mishpat l'chol amal, like in our pasuk. Bizman shebalei dinim ba'im l'David, the din, when people would come to David for a judgment, lifnei David amalch, amar lehem sidru dinecham. He would say to them, figure out your din. Kevan shenitchayev echad l'chavero mana, when one person owed his friend a mana, Haya motzi mana mishalo, he would take out $100 from his own, v'noten lo, and give it to him. Bi'im lav, amar lahem, chilku mashalechem, v'hipatru b'shalom. And if not, then he would just say, divide up what you have and go out in peace. Okay, so David would do the tzedakah first, and then the mish... Wait,
the other way.
Avram did the tzedakah.
Right. So David would do... the mishpat and then the tzedakah.
Did he mean, is it to do with the person who's giving it to maybe?
Yeah.
Like he says, if A owes B, then maybe David gave A the money rather than giving it to B.
Yeah.
That's how I read it.
Yeah.
I hope that's right.
No, I think you're right. And you're the lawyer here, so I think so. you're two lawyers. Okay. So
I'm not
then,
sure, that's right. I'll have to read it again. It was complicated.
Yeah, it was complicated.
Does that make sense to you?
Right. Yeah, it makes... But whatever it was, you see the difference, and it's just nuanced in terms of how they would approach law. Okay, so let's read in English these next two Gemaras. Rabbi Yeshua ben, they're both from Sanhedrin. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says, it is a mitzvah to mediate a dispute as it is stated, execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. So what is this talking about? This whole section in Sanhedrin is talking about it's actually better to do mediation rather than to come out with an actual judgment. So as much as you can get people to compromise is better than having a judgment come out. Okay? So it is it not that in the place where there is strict judgment, there is no true peace, and in a place where there is true peace, there is no strict judgment? Rather, which is the judgment that has peace within it? You must say, this is mediation. The lawyers are happy with that. as both sides are satisfied with the results. And similarly, with regard to David, it says, and David executed justice and charity, mishpat utzdaka, to all his people. And is it not that wherever there is strict justice, there is no charity, and wherever there is charity, there is no strict justice? Rather, this is which is the justice that has within it charity? You must say, this is mediation. It's just a beautiful statement on how to run a just society, just and peaceful society. Okay.
She's basically saying it was doing mediation.
Yeah, they did a lot of mediation. So the next one, were it not for David who studied Torah, Yoav would not have been able to wage war successfully, and were not for the military acumen of Yoav, David would not have been able to study Torah. As is written, and David executed judgment and justice to all his people, and Yoav, son of Tsruiah, was over the army, as we commented already. What is the reason that David executed judgment and justice to all his people? He was able to do so because Yoav, son of Tsruiah, was over the army, assisting him in fighting his battles. And what is the reason that Yoav, son of Tsruiah, was over the army? He was able to do so because David executed judgment and justice to all his people. Okay, so let's skip to the last source. That was just the Marasha, Chidushei Agadah, just explaining that a little more in depth. Okay, so Midrash Tanhuma. Shayu hakol shavin, everyone was equal. Ad sheba Avraham v'natan lo kadosh baruch hu et ha'atara hazo, shehu itur la'adam kishehu mazkin. So everyone was equal until Avraham came and gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to him the crown of old age. V'ema taiba alav kishehu oset tzedakah. And when did he come to him? When he would do tzedakah. Shenamar atarat tiferet seva. So it says in Mishlei, the glorious crown is that of old age. Behechan at motza, b'derech tzedakah timza. And how do you find it? You find it by the way of tzedakah. Mihayaze Avraham shekativ bo ki yadativ l'mana sheri tzaveh et Hashem. Who was this? This was Avraham, because it says tzedakah mishmat with regard to Avraham. Amar le Kadosh Baruch Hu chayacha she'ata ra'ui l'zkena. Hashem said to Avram, by your life, you are worthy of old age. L'chach ne'amar ve'avram zakein. And that's why it says in a different pasuk that Avram got old. Ve'af David natal ha'atara hazo. David also took this crown. She'ne'amar ve'hamelch David zakein. Because it says, and the King David was old, which is interesting because we know he only lived till 70, but it uses this verb of he got old. Lama, why did he get this old age? She'asa k'midat Avram, because he did just like Avram. She'namar v'hi David asa mishpat utzdaka. David did mishpat utzdaka l'kol amo. L'chach ne'amar ateret tiferet seva. He also got the crown of old age. So this is something that really interested in me, where we've done a lot of comparisons of David to other people, including Moshe, but this is the first time we've seen him in direct comparison to Avram Avinu, which I think is really apropos, because just like Avram was the founding father of the Jewish people, David HaMelech is really the founding father of the lasting kingdom of Israel. So they both are founding fathers in their own ways, and the two values that really highlight both of them in the way they live their lives was tzedakah mishpat. And we see that they're, you know, in different orders they come up to different things, but they still come up with justice and charity. May we have leaders soon who have these attributes as well. Okay, thank you.